Yeah, we're going to have questions. Before Pastor Poji came up to speak, we asked to write down questions. So I want you to pass it to the usher close to you so they can pass it up to me in front here. So if you have questions, write down the questions. We're not going to ask all questions, but just write it down. We'll look at it. So I believe some people should have their questions ready already. So if you have your questions ready, just pass it down quickly. Praise God. Any question, anyone? If there are no questions, we close now. No questions? Oh, they are writing. We should have written it before now. Okay, this. If they have like two, please bring. We're going to ask only like four questions, so you better write fast and send it for us, so it increase your chances of being. It's an interesting question. Let me just ask this. See, if you have the fear of death, how do you deal with it?
All right, that's a good question. Okay, so the fear of death, what we explained as death, is the fear of loss that you will suffer if you are separated from something. So you have that, which is threatening you. Okay? Now, it is the same thing Paul said when he said, be anxious for nothing. Right? Don't entertain fears of anxiety. And it's a good question because there is one principal way to deal with it. And I want everybody to hear this. And also, you use this when you are believing God for anything. Kenneth Hagin of blessed memory said, in his ministry, he has never found where people have practiced this, they have gotten 100% results. He said, even when it comes to the administration of healing to the sick, he hands this over to people and say, for 2 weeks, practice this before you come for hands to be laid on you. If you do it, he said, on every occasion, they have gotten the people permanently and perfectly made whole. Now, what you have got to do is that when you have the fear of death, there are times when that thought will come to you. Let's say you are about to sleep, you wake up. You know, there are times where the thought will just come to you and bounce and torment you and it will come up. Right? And sometimes it can come 5 times a day. It can come 60 times a day. It will come 30 times. It comes whenever it wants to come and can come repeatedly. You must go to God if you do not already have. I can give you a scripture this. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. And he has prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup runs over. You must have one line, a statement that you will make that fits that situation that will break that thought of fear. One. Not many. One. And any time it comes up, this is how you break thoughts, okay? And after you do this, after some time, the devil will leave you alone, okay? And once he leaves you alone, you are sure that if that thing happens, your cup is going to run over. If it doesn't happen, your cup is going to run. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means if you say, you sack me, even if you sack me, from this, God has prepared a table, and we enter into the table he has prepared, and my cup will run over. Anytime the thought... This is the discipline. Anytime the thought comes, have that statement you say. You don't think it. Say it out of your mouth to break that line of thought. If it comes, say it. If it comes back, say it. Anytime it comes, say it. After some time, it might take 2 weeks, it will stop coming. That means you've won the battle. Are you following what I'm saying here? For example, this is how you break thought. When it says take no thought, Jesus said take no thought saying. Which means if I tell you now, let's all start counting to 30. And we say, let's start this in our minds. I say 1, I say 2, 3. Yeah, keep going. You go 4, 5, 6, 7. If I now tell them, could you say out your name? The minute you say your name, you break that thought. Once you open your mouth to say something, you break what you are thinking. So what you do, all right, and you cannot, you do not drive darkness out. You switch on the light. You do not drive cool air or cold air out of a room. You switch on the heater. You don't drive darkness out by saying darkness go. You switch on the light. Are you following what I'm saying here? So the only way you get out negative thoughts is by switching on the right thoughts. So the way you get it out of your system is by saying the word of God. Anytime you say the word of God, you switch light on. Anytime you say the word of God, it's the same thing, no? Now, if it is, now let's assume that, I'm just going to assume, now, and you have to be specific, because fear is not general. And for faith to work, it must be specific. I heard this once, I said, well, imagine until I read what Jesus said. They came to Jesus, blind Bartimaeus, and said, Son of David, have mercy on me. A blind man who threw away his license to beg walks up to you and says, have mercy on me. Hey, you should know what he said. Jesus said, what will you that I should do for thee? He must have first of all looked. Can't you see Jesus? Can't you see I'm blind? All right. He said that I might see. Jesus did not get him to define what he wanted to do in order for Jesus to know. It was for his faith to be focused. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Which means what you're hoping for must be definite things. You understand this? So if it is a fear, let us say you need to pay a bill of 100,000 in 6 weeks. And you don't know where it's coming from and there's the fear of, look, you're on that. What you do is that you declare out of your mouth, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. God is with me. God has prepared a table before me here, and my cup has run over to the degree that I have more than 100,000 naira. Call that exact thing. If it's a sickness, call it by name and say, I declare that I'm completely healed of, call the name of that particular thing. So you zero in on that thing. All right? So if it's an office and you're working in DEXA organization and say you declare, I have no fear of being sacked from this organization because God has prepared a table for me and my cup runs over. Let me tell you something about repeating the word of God and meditating on God's word. If you do it faithfully, if you are going to be sacked, that word will show you. And what will come out of it, that word will show you. Do you understand what I'm saying? If somebody says, if you don't sleep with me, I'll sack you. And, you know, someone says, he will change his mind. He might not change his mind. He might sack. All right? But if he does that, the word will already have shown you what is going to be the result of it. And you'll just simply walk out of that with no pain in your heart. You'll go out with joy. All right? Not with offense. And you'll be led forth in peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth before thee. Because he will show you that even though this looks like an evil thing that is being done, all right, the crucifixion of Jesus was an evil thing. Nobody walking in love will have crucified Jesus. Nobody. So sometimes, if everybody is walking in love, God's will might not come to pass. You understand what I'm saying here? You need some bad guys to do some things for it to come. So, all right, Joseph, what he saw, as far as Joseph was concerned, his emotional attachment to his father will never have left Joseph leave his father's house. That dream Joseph thought he saw was that he would take control of his father's house and the others. That's what he thought he saw. He wasn't thinking prime minister. So, but in the course of all of that, Joseph now realized that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So you will see while you are declaring that something will happen. Men mean it for evil, but God is going to use this for good. So you want to do it? You say, fine, good is coming out of this. We'll come and meet you. Don't you? No, forget about that. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. That is a secret God has showed me. I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. So what was going to happen, you tell them, is not going to happen. It has already happened. I have seen it. There's a new day. Watch. It's coming up. Are you following what I'm saying? Meditation is what gives you insight and at the same time foresight.
Amen.
And let me just say this. You can't meditate without saying. Meditation is not hard thinking. It's to utter something. All right.
There's a question here about prophecy. It's important because of the environment we're in. It says, sir, can you prophesy without any instruction from the Holy Spirit or vice versa? So can you prophesy without any instructions from the Holy Spirit? In other words, the Holy Spirit tells you something to prophesy, or can you just go ahead and just prophesy?
Look, there are two ways in which you can read what you're saying. To say, without the influence of the Spirit of God, you open your mouth to declare things on behalf of God without God showing you anything. That is not prophecy. Okay? That can be motivation, but that is not a prophetic utterance. A prophetic utterance, by definition, is a word inspired by the Spirit of God. Tongues is just like saying that, can I pray in tongues, speak in tongues without the Holy Spirit? Because tongues and prophecy are from the same source. One is spoken in a language that your intellect cannot understand. Another one is spoken in your understanding. So to say that without the influence of the Spirit you prophesy is not possible. However, if what he is saying is that we're defining prophecy as in, for example, whether I am moved by God to prophesy, as in that, you know, God shows you something and then you prophesy it, or you take it, this is what I'm trying to find now, as part of your pastoral ministry to prophesy over people, which is legit, right? Then in prayer, you can ask God to show you scriptures, you can speak into the lives of people. And when you prophesy, the power is this. When those words come out of your lips, they will be in agreement with certain things people are believing God for. So you use your faith to stand in agreement with them. So there is something that is going on in the flow of Nigerian ministry predominantly, which is the use of prophetic utterances in pastoral work is legit. Okay? It is legit, all right? That is, the pastor can finish preaching some message and then they start prophesying. Now, you ask, is it prophecy like God revealed something to you about the country, right? That comes maybe once every 5 years. Is it in that class? No. But is it, it's just like saying that, can I preach without being inspired to preach? If that is the case, then you can't say, come on Sunday morning at 8:30 and I'm going to preach to you. You have to wait to be inspired. And when you are inspired, then you call people, I'm now inspired. Come and hear me. All right? And preaching the word of God is actually prophesying by definition. So if that is what you are saying on that stage, then you can prophesy without you being inspired that way. Because if that is what we're saying, then you must be, all right, inspired. So I need to clarify. All right, what was it?
Okay, there's a question here on ministry. What is the right way of launching you out to start your own ministry? I think you mentioned something about it earlier on the session, and maybe you just be stressing it more.
What the person might be saying, when you say launching out to start your own ministry, that presupposes the person is in somebody else's ministry. The person might be talking about more technicalities than what you are saying about just the way that question is, it might be deeper than just say, because we can that one we've answered. Yeah, okay. Well, okay, what do you do? Okay, if I'll just take it broad based that to launch your ministry. Once you are certain inside your heart that you are called of God, number one, announcement to people that I'm called of God, it doesn't change anything. If you say you are called of God, if somebody says he's called of God, he didn't say he's called by his pastor. He said God called him. So the God that called him, he answers that God. So nobody has any problem. So saying I'm called of God to, because people have done it before, they will say things about, I'm called of God. I don't know. God called you. It's God that knows. I don't know. I'm not responsible for that. You said God called you, so God answers. So the first thing I'm saying is that don't spend time telling people I'm called into ministry. Okay? In fact, the worst is to say I'm called into a prophetic ministry. I'm called to be an apostle. Leave all that one alone. Okay? All right? If grace is flowing, grace is flowing. Find out how to turn the tap. Whether the water is hot, cold, warm. Once the tap is turned, we will know whether it's prophetic, apostolic, or, all right? Don't say it is prophetic. It is prophetic. It is prophetic. Okay? All right? Okay? So what you should do is keep it to yourself. All people in scripture that we know were called of God kept it to themselves. Esther didn't go around saying, God has a work for me. God has a work for me. John the Baptist didn't go out. I'm telling you people, I'm called of God. I'm called of God. Jesus didn't go around the whole place saying, I'm telling you, when he was young, I've told you people, all this carpentry work is for a time. He didn't go around doing that. One of the things to an effective ministry, when people start broadcasting these things, that's not the spiritual method of getting it done. It's not. All right? If the seed is on the inside of you, that is why when a woman is pregnant, the child is hidden. It's principle in life that anything you deliver must be hidden from the eyes of men. So keep it. Okay? And that will help you to monitor and look at the authenticity of your call and to even know the nature of your call. Spend time praying to God about it. Ask him to show you. Don't talk to anybody. Take what he's showing you and start declaring it as the voice of one in the wilderness. While there's still that wilderness experience, prepare ye the way of the Lord, announcing it to yourself. Okay? Once the word that you are saying begins to get into the earth, which means the earth begins to respond to your words, it will start bringing forth things for you. You'll find out without saying anything to anybody, right? Doors can begin to open up. And those doors, if you are called to preach, will not be first of all doors to preach. If you are called to sing, it's not doors to sing. They could call you now that they recognize something on your life. Go and become an usher here or help us in this area. And it looks Joel Osteen as an example. He was in the tape department doing television production, but he's pastoring one of the fastest and largest growing churches. All right. Okay. But you will see that you'll be just what God is proving there is your faithfulness. He wants you to learn certain things. You know, the best preacher is not the one that first preached in children's church, then preached in teen church, then preached in youth church, then preached and then preached. It's not. God can call you today and tomorrow. He grants you a trance and you're preaching. So, it's not like we're moving from level 1 to level 2, level 3 in the civil service. It is God that called. You understand this? But just make sure you do that. So, keep declaring what you're saying to yourself. All right? If you're married, you and your spouse, praying about it, declaring the word of God. All right, and God himself will begin to open up the doors that he should open up for you as a person. But announcing to people, you know, that I'm called of God, you know, telling people around your place, I'm called into ministry. So what I said, I'm called into ministry. All right, I'm called into ministry. Any small thing, I'm called into ministry. I'm called into ministry. And on that, we've seen that those things, to be honest with you, I never heard God tell me, I've called you to be a pastor. Circumstances just went like that. And I got myself there. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, because if God calls you, the person that called you will come and fetch you. Moses didn't, when Moses tried to enter, he had a problem. God came to meet Moses where he was. The people that were toiling all night didn't catch anything. Peter, Jesus came to them and said, follow me. So Jesus will come and meet you where you are and begin, all right, to lead and to guide you.
Two more questions, sir. One, someone asks, how do you raise finances in ministry? And coming from the background of Covenant Christian Center, we hardly hear raising finance in church. How do you raise finances in ministry? Maybe to help.
Well, I mean, that's what we're saying. Jesus said, when I sent you. Not when I called you, when I sent you. No, but you must understand. Are you following what I'm saying? We've talked about calling and sending. When I sent you, did you lack anything? to fund that ministry. So what you will have is that if the church is 10,000 people, you will have maybe 20 people among the 10,000 people giving up to 40% of what is inside that church. But before you get the 20 people that will give 40% in peace, you will find one person that will give 50 to 60% with demand. And when you release that one that go in peace, I saw you as my Isaac. Alright? We would not, it is better to eat, the Bible says, herbs with quietness than to eat a fatted ox and their strife. We release that, then God puts you in a position where, you know, where you can have people that are giving. So, let me give an example. Let me just say last week. Five people in 4 days outside the church service, because givers don't, it's not on Sunday they give. Now the reason why I'm saying this is that if you, Jesus' ministry is the example. If you read it, the Bible says that there were certain women who gave up their substance. So the ministry of Jesus was financed by some people who believed they were called to do it. All right? And the Bible talks about the grace of giving. So there are some people that have it. However, all right, what I said before, the Isaac comes, the Ishmaels will show up. So if you overcome that successfully without any bitterness towards any person, without any offense in your heart, God will bring in the givers. So you will have the people that will be giving large. All right. What I'm trying to say is that, yes, I thought maybe I shouldn't say it again. That's why I moved from story. But what I'm trying to say is that, let me just say that the largest givers in our ministry today, if they are 10, I only know one physically. I do not know them inside the congregation. I only know one personally. And that person, if I tell people inside the church that this person, for example, last week wanted to go and just do a medical fair and he gave 7.5 million to it. If I tell that person gave 7.5 million for this medical fair, it's only known to me, to the church administrator and church accountant. No other person inside that church knows that that person has that kind of money. And when he gives it like that. Regularly. Are you following? No other person knows. From the way he dresses, you will not know. From the car he drives, you might not know he has that car. Okay? But we've had other people who have walked around the church like they are the custodians. In fact, I did not know until recently that even in social circles now, businessmen, some of them consider it a thing of prestige to say that we are the ones funding that ministry. You know, before, it's, now, church too is part of the, who are the backers in that church? Five of us. Me, we are the ones funding. So I overheard from somebody that somebody went somewhere and said that he's one of the two financiers. I said, I just shook my head. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, even the person that was telling me gives more money to the ministry than him. And he gives about 35 times more than this other person. Yet he considers this one as the big funders. Because they buy a big car and strut, you know, like, yeah. All right. Okay?
So, okay, finally, just from Hebrews, the Bible says that the priest offers gifts and sacrifices. Are they the same things? In Hebrews, the scripture says that the priest offers gifts and sacrifices.
They can't be the same thing. Or else they won't use two words.
So what is the difference? What is the gift? What
they
is
should
sacrifice?
Check it now.
That's the question, actually. What are the gifts?
No, you
what
should
are the
check
sacrifices?
It now. I mean, let's even look at it from English. You can make a sacrifice that is not a gift.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? You can make a sacrifice to God that is not necessarily a gift in that sense.
Okay.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they should check it. But that's not the question they should be asking. The question they should be asking is, what are the sacrifices that are well-pleasing to God? But since they didn't ask that, I cannot answer it. Never.
Okay. Wow, thank you so much, sir. Wow, thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. The message that you just heard will be sent to your emails for free. We decided to give it out for free. So if you wrote your name out there, please ensure that your email address is correct. So we're going to send it to you and make it legible so we don't send it to someone else or send it and get the mail at them on. Then also, if you need to buy it, we're going to be ready. I'm going to be ready.